It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. A judge has ordered the lawsuit over Rhode Island's pension overhaul back to the mediation table after votes were tallied on a proposed settlement reached after more than a year of talks. One group of public employees, the police, have voted to reject the settlement. Here to explain what this all means is Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
So, Scott, walk us through what happened with the vote tallies announced yesterday.
Well, basically, there were six groups that were eligible to vote on this. State employees, firefighters, teachers, municipal employees, and, of course, the retirees. Now, all of those groups approved the settlement. Even though some of them didn't like it, they figured it was the most pragmatic thing to do. However, the police officers voted it down by 61%. Now, this is pretty strange because this means that only 254 police officers, in effect, have scuttled the entire pension settlement deal, at least for now.
Now, in this voting, Scott, whose votes were counted and why do you think the police were the ones who rejected it?
Well, again, all of the other groups, the teachers, the state employees, the municipal employees, the retirees, and the firefighters approved it. One of the things that's happened in Rhode Island is over the years, police have done pretty well. Under the law, for instance, as it stood before the 2011 pension changes, cops could retire at any age after 20 or 25 years of work, depending on the community. But the new age threshold under this law would be age 55 with a minimum of 25 years of work. Now, what used to happen is these cops would retire from one community or the state police and they'd go on and work for another community or take a job in private security. So therefore, they did pretty well under the previous law. Now, the new iteration of this pension law virtually cuts that off by 5 to 10 years. And it's very, very difficult, they think, particularly in a public safety job. You hear this argument all the time that it's not good to have 60-year-old people out chasing young criminals.
So the police voted against this. That was enough to scuttle the deal. But the judge has ordered both sides back to the settlement table. So what happens next?
Well, the judge is going to meet next Monday, and I assume that this will put the parties back into talks, perhaps with the federal mediator. Maybe they can tweak this a little bit to make it more amenable to the police, since they're the only one of the six groups that decided against this.
Now, this is an election year. Scott, what do you think are the political implications of whether or not the state reaches a settlement in this lawsuit?
Well, they're pretty large, particularly in the governor's race, where this deal, you know, was spearheaded by State General Treasurer Gina Raimondo with the cooperation of Governor Chafee. Now, Chafee's not on any ballot this year. He's not running again. But the general treasurer is in a three-way primary with Providence Mayor Angel Taveras and Clay Pell, political newcomer, the grandson of Senator Claiborne Pell. So this could be an issue in her election. I think that she was hoping that the settlement would get this issue off the table as she heads into a September 9th primary. However, if this goes to trial, the trial date is set for September 15th. So you can see that issue will still hang over her campaign by the looks.
And Scott, there's been a lot of talk about whether this voting process was even fair, partly because ballots were counted as yes votes if they were not returned. And now, as you're saying, one group voting against this, even though they're a small percentage of the total, that was enough to scuttle the deal. I mean, Scott, is this a fair process?
It's a torturous process is what it is. It's been a moving target all along. We know the General Assembly doesn't like it. We now know that even though a lot of the folks in most of these groups don't like it, they were pragmatic and they were able to swallow it, thinking that at least they got something back and they might lose everything if they went to court. The grand irony here is this was overwhelmingly approved, if you think about it, except by the one group that seems to have a veto over the process. Again, that's the 254 out of 24,000 eligible voters who turned it down.
And Scott, what kind of oversight is there to make sure that these tallies, this voting actually went forward as it was supposed to do, that people received their ballots, sent them back, and that they were properly counted?
Well, Judge Taft Carter ruled over that. They have a third-party count of votes. There were some early irregularities. Somebody didn't get a vote. But I'm told that it was less than 100 or 200 people who didn't get ballots. We know there was a lot of publicity early on about the fact that a dead person was sent a ballot, these kinds of things. I don't think that there was anything really unfair about this. There's been no evidence of that.
Now, Scott, one of the major questions in this lawsuit is whether the promises that the state made and that local governments made to their employees, whether those promises constitute a property right. In other words, whether it's something that people can go back and say, well, now we think we can't afford this promise we made, we're going to change that. And critics of the settlement say this issue ought to go to court to decide once and for all whether the state can make changes when it needs to do so. What do you think?
Well, you never decide anything once and for all when it comes to something done by the General Assembly in state law and the other side of union negotiations. However, it is an interesting case, and originally General Treasurer Raimondo said it was a property right, right here on Rhode Island Public Radio. And then about a week later, she backtracked and said that the courts have to decide that. In this country, different courts, federal and state, have taken different looks and different ideas about just what this means. And you'll see some states, it's actually in New York, the pension rights are in the state constitution. In other states, courts have not decided any one way in this country. It hasn't gone to the U.S. Supreme Court. One thing we know for sure, because of what's at stake here, this case, if it's litigated, will definitely go all the way to the Rhode Island Supreme Court. Whichever aggrieved party here doesn't get what they want in Superior Court, you can be sure they will take it up to the High Court.
And of course, what's at stake is millions of dollars for the state.
Yes, they said that this would save about $4 billion over 20 years. Well, we've been arguing this for years. We go back 20 years. General Treasurer Nancy Mayer, who served in the 1990s, had very similar concerns. The legislature wouldn't listen. Then, of course, came the 2008 crash of Wall Street, coupled with people living a lot longer up into their 90s. You'll remember last year when we did a story on a fellow 95 years old state employee who said, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to die? But, you know, people like him have taken out $800,000, $900,000 in pension benefits, and perhaps they only contributed 50. Now, the employees contribute about 9 or 10% of their checks, but whatever doesn't get made up by the investments, the taxpayers must pay that. So that's where the problem lies.
Well, Scott, we're almost out of time, but quickly, if you can, what's the bottom line here? Is this settlement deal dead?
I don't think it's dead, but it's probably in the ICU. It's not on life support, but I think they're going to have to quickly come up with another tweak in the negotiations, and we'll see if the judge approves. Otherwise, we're in for a long round, many rounds of lawyering.
Well, Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay, thank you for being here.
Great to be here, Elizabeth.